This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Last night's presidential debate between George W. Bush and John Kerry had the potential to create a major shift in the dynamics of the close race. Both campaigns invested heavily in trying to shape public perception of who won. NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams went behind the scenes.
Among undecided voters, 70% indicate that the presidential debates are key in guiding their vote. But in a 90-minute debate filled with substantive, sometimes complex exchanges on U.S. foreign policy, the two campaigns went all out to convince reporters, commentators, and voters that their candidate won the debate. Steve Schmidt led the Bush-Cheney campaign's rapid response team.
We'll have about 15 to 20 people in this room. We have a mirror operation in Arlington with about 40 people, and then the RNC research operation with 50 people in Washington.
Just down the hall is the Kerry Edwards response team, headed by Chad Clanton. He says the Democrats learned a lesson from the debates in 2000.
Well, I think it's a race to get your message out. And there's a lot of new tools in the information age to use to get your message out.
During the debate, Senator Kerry repeatedly charged that President Bush erred by going to war in Iraq.
And smart means not diverting your attention from the real war on terror in Afghanistan against Osama bin Laden and taking it off to Iraq, where the 9/11 Commission confirms there was no connection to 9/11 itself in Saddam Hussein, and where the reason for going to war was weapons of mass destruction, not the removal of Saddam Hussein. This president has made, I regret to say, a colossal error of judgment. And judgment is what we look for in the president of the United States of America.
President Bush's response throughout the debate was to charge that Senator Kerry's position on the war changed according to what would be politically advantageous to him. Mr. Bush said the senator's description of the war in Iraq as a distraction from the war on terror sends a confused message.
What my opponent wants you to forget is that he voted to authorize the use of force and now says it's the wrong war at the wrong time at the wrong place. I don't see how you can lead this country to succeed in Iraq, if you say wrong war, wrong time, wrong place, what message does that send our troops? What message does that send our allies? What message does that send the Iraqis? No, the way to win this is to be steadfast and resolved and to follow through on the plan that I just outlined.
The importance of the debate in this election was evident by the active involvement of top political operatives from both campaigns. Kerry's top advisors, from Mike McCurry to Joel Johnson and Joe Lockhart, plotted responses during the debate. President Bush's campaign had its chairman, Mark Roscoe, and top advisors Ken Melman, Karen Hughes, and Karl Rove in action.
We don't need to finish up the sheet. Go to yellow. Okay.
About 20 minutes into the debate, the Bush campaign issued the first of 10 releases to remind voters that in October 2002, the senator said he believed Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. The Kerry campaign issued 4 releases during the debate. In response to President Bush's assertion that the war in Iraq is part of the war on terror, the Kerry camp reported that, quote, half of the intelligence and special forces in Afghanistan and Pakistan had been diverted to Iraq. After the debate ended, both camps sent well-known political supporters to appear on TV and talk to reporters. In the so-called Spin Alley area, the Bush team presented a consistent message. Here are top Bush aides, Karen Hughes, Andrew Card, and Nicole Devenish.
Here's what I think is important. What the American people look for when they sit down to watch one of these debates is they try to get a window into the heart and the soul of a candidate. And I think what the president was able to show the American people tonight was both his heart and his strength. He was able to show them how hard it is for him to make these decisions, to send young people to war.
And I think they also saw a wonderful heart when the president praised Senator Kerry for being a good father, for his service to the country when he wore the uniform of the armed services, and for his service in the United States Senate, even though he doesn't agree with the record that he's had there.
I think the people saw, really, you know, a president speaking from the heart.
In the same spin alley, the Kerry team was responding. Here are Kerry supporters Rand Beers, Don Beer, and former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright.
And while the president may be speaking from his heart, as John Kerry said, you still got to have the right policy. If you have policies that are failing, you got to change them. I mean, nobody's perfect.
See that President Bush said nothing new, that he kept going through the same things in terms of saying, it's so because I say it's so. And I think
foreign policy, the war on terror, should be Bush's strongest moment in these debates. Once things go to the domestic policy, once things go to the economy, he's not on his strongest ground. And if he
For a veteran political reporter such as Howard Fineman of Newsweek magazine, the spin is part of a political process that determines the winner of this debate.
The three factors are what the reporters see, what the spinners say, and what the polls show. And it usually takes 24 hours or more for the kind of consensus to emerge. Because of the internet, because of the ubiquitousness of cable television and so forth, that may happen faster.
Polls done immediately after the debate showed Senator Kerry won the exchange in the minds of most Americans. But that perception could change as debate statements and performances are weighed by the media and voters. Only in the next few days, as public opinion gels, will the campaigns be able to tell who really won the first presidential debate of 2004, and if that debate changed the minds of any voters. Juan Williams, NPR News, Coral Gables, Florida.
And the origins of spin can be found at npr.org.